All right. Man, so today, Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. This is that day where we remember the events of Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem as he rides into town on the donkey. And if you don't know this story, the reason it's called Palm Sunday is the people were waving the palm branches, right? They were laying them in the road to make this path, make this way for Jesus, okay? And as we read this story this morning, this story of Palm Sunday, it's an important message because, as Cheryl talked about earlier, it's Jesus is coming to town, right, to fulfill this purpose, right, this greatness that people have been waiting for. And the thing about Palm Sunday and this story in the scriptures is that it gives us this reminder of how many people missed the Messiah when he came. You know, there's a lot of people that they're like, man, if I could just see, right? If God would just show me something, I would believe. And that's not necessarily always the case because his own chosen people in this day, most of them did not see. Most of them were there. Most of them were cheering. Most of them were wanting. But because he didn't do what they wanted him to do and do it in the way that they wanted him to do it, most of them missed Jesus. Listen, there's a lot of people, when Jesus comes back, are going to be in the same boat. They're going to miss Jesus because he may not come the way that you expect him to come, and he may not do the things exactly the way that you expect him to do them. It's why we've got to know him right here and right now. Amen? There ain't no waiting until the last day, waiting until the last moment. We've got to know him now as we have opportunity. And as we read this story, we're going to read the account in Matthew today, Matthew chapter 21. It says, now while they drew near Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was all done that it may be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and they did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This story of Palm Sunday, there's a lot of important pieces to this story. There's a lot of important aspects to this story. Obviously, we have Jesus as the most important part of this story, but you also have the things that the crowd is doing, and you have the palm branches, and you have the donkey, you have the fulfillment of this prophecy. And this morning, as we look through this story, I'm going to focus on the donkey. If you guys see the picture that is up here, the donkey's important because, listen, when we read the scriptures, don't we want to relate to the scripture? Don't we want to know, how do I apply this scripture to my life? And if you've read this story over and over and over, and you've heard it preached year after year, and you begin to think, okay, Jesus came, and he came to save, and I'm already saved, so it's a great story. It's a good reminder. But today, I believe we're going to look at this from a fresh perspective, because what I want you to realize today is what I realized as I was studying for it, that I'm the donkey. You are the donkey. Everybody say, I'm the donkey. That was a good joke, wasn't it? You're the donkey. That's it. I just wanted to hear you say that. I'm out. You know, we got that on camera. This donkey, listen, church, the donkey is such a great picture, such a great illustration of you and of me. Now, I'm not talking about how we behave sometimes. Some of you guys poking your friend, your neighbor, and you're like, you are the donkey. You do act like a donkey on a pretty regular basis. But it's not about our behavior. It's really an image of a picture of our lives before and after meeting Jesus. See, it's easy to look at this story and think about the owners, that these men show up and they're like, give us your donkey, the Lord has need of it. And the fact that these owners are just like, yeah, sure, take my donkey, my possession. And it's easy to think about them and to think about the obedience of the people and why was Jesus doing this and all these things. But if we focus on Jesus and we focus on the interaction with this donkey and what this donkey does and represents, church, I found that it's just like looking in the mirror of our human lives. See, the first thing we need to know this morning is Jesus, right from the get-go, he had a plan for this donkey. I don't know about you, but you think about that donkey, and I always just thought, well, it's just the donkey. He knew it was there. And no, Jesus had a plan for this donkey. In fact, when he sends the disciples to go get the donkey, he tells them what to say. He says, if you say this, they will give you the donkey. He doesn't say they might. He says they will. Like, you just got to know what to say. And what did he have them say? The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Now, if I came over to Josh's house and I was like, Josh, I would like to take your truck. Please give me the keys. He would probably tell me no. I'm just guessing. I mean, like, I'm saying permanently I'm taking it. He probably would tell me no. Now, if I came over and I was like, but Josh, the Lord has need of it, he's at least going to think about it, right? I mean, he's at least going to be like, okay, now, he hasn't told me this, but if he's telling my pastor this, maybe I'm supposed to give him my truck. These guys show up and they're like, the Lord has need of this donkey. See, this donkey already had plans for its life. It already had plans for his life. This was before they saw it, before Jesus saw it, before he came to town. Jesus already had a plan for this specific, particular donkey. Just like he already has a specific plan for your particular life. A specific plan already for you and for me. A plan that's before it's revealed, it's already a plan. See, there's times where we can think we're just waiting on the sideline. We're just waiting our lives out. We're unsure of ourselves. We're unsure of our purpose. We're unsure maybe if we even have one. But church, you and I are the donkey. See, Jesus knows you already. He knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your heart. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what is within you, and he already has a plan for your life. Amen? He already has a plan for your life, okay? And this plan is much more than just existing. This plan is much more than just making it until the end of life to go to heaven. It is a much bigger, greater plan than taking up space, because it's a plan of purpose, right? Like the Lord had need of the donkey, the Lord has need of you. You know, we say this sometimes, the Lord doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. Well, according to his plan, he does. Because he left and went to heaven and sent the Spirit to dwell within us and work through us. Now, how is the work of the kingdom going to get done if we don't allow the Spirit that is within us to work through us? See, he actually does need us, but it's because that is his plan that he set up from the beginning. He has plans for your life, and he has need of you. And before you start thinking Well, maybe other people, right? Maybe you, maybe the person sitting across from me, but I'm not so sure about myself. The other thing you got to know is this donkey was chosen, right? This donkey not only had a plan, but this donkey was chosen. He said, go into the village opposite you, and you will find a donkey that is tied. See, he didn't just say, you will find a donkey, right? Just look around, you will find a donkey. But he told him of a specific donkey, that you will find this one. It will be tied. It's not going to be lost. It's not going to be wandering. It may not even appear to really be very available, right? It's not going to be a donkey with a for sale sign. How many of you guys always want God to show you a literal sign, right? I would have been like, okay, give me some more specifics. Right? Is it going to be like the neon orange for sale sign in front of this donkey? Is it going to, like, you know, is the guy going to be standing there waiting for me? Like, sir, I've been expecting you, or what's going on here? But he tells him it's going to be this specific donkey, right? It may not stand out to you. It may not appear to you as though it is available. It may not be offered to you. But what you're going to do is you're going to go and find this specific donkey, this one that I have chosen, and you're going to ask for it. Jesus knew where it was at. He knew whose it was, and he had already chosen it for this specific time, this specific purpose, this specific place. He told them which donkey to get for this purpose, because it's the purpose it was created for. And like that donkey, Jesus chooses you to do what you were created for. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite verses, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, you were actually created for good works. Good works were not created for you. See, we have it backwards, because God, the scripture says, has the works prepared for you before you were even created. That means that he chose you to do those works. The works are already there. They're already prepared. They're already gonna need done, and I choose you to do these specific works, these good works. You were chosen to do them. You know, when you think about people who struggle throughout their life and they're like, I hate what I'm doing, I hate where I'm going, and I'm just, again, getting by. And then there comes a time where sometimes people find this thing that they're really called to do, right? It's something, man, this is it. I have found what God has called me to do. I've found my calling, right? And you begin to enjoy it and thrive in it and work in it. And listen, life is too short to just do stuff we hate for the whole rest of our lives. Amen? It really is. Like, we need to be on a mission to find our purpose and our calling. That may be occupationally, but it may also be with what we're doing with all the rest of our time throughout the week, which is usually more of the issue. But when we find that calling, when we find that thing, this is what God has created me to do. Listen, there's no thing in the world that gives us more satisfaction, that is more fulfilling than doing what he has created us to do. And like this donkey, right, God chose you before you knew him. But we have this problem, church. We have this problem of ownership. We have this problem of availability. And there's this thing about this donkey that they would find, and that they, when they found him, Jesus said he will be tied. This donkey will be tied. See, when you're tied, it's an indication that you clearly belong to something else, to someone else. It was bound, right? It couldn't get loose. It couldn't get free, even if it wanted to. And for you and me, for people, right, we can have purpose. We can be chosen. We may even kind of know what that is and be working towards those things in our life. But you can be called and have a purpose and be chosen, but yet still be tied to a fence post. And without Jesus, listen, we're all tied, We're all hooked. We're all victims of our habits. We're all bound by our sin, and we all belong to the enemy. That's the reality of it, is that apart from Christ, we all belong to Satan. Romans 6:20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. For what fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." He says, you were slaves of sin, right? We were tied by sin. We belonged to sin. We belonged to the enemy, living bound, waiting for death. He also says that this donkey, there's going to be something specific and special about this donkey, that this donkey was going to be untamed, right? This donkey is going to be untamed. Another account says that it is a donkey that has never been ridden. And you know, for you and me, we read that and we probably think, man, that poor donkey, right? It's never been ridden. It's just tied to the fence post. It just sits there all day, every day. But here's what that means, that it is untamed, that it has not been ridden. It means that it hasn't been broken yet. It's a stubborn donkey, right? It's a rebellious donkey, right? The owner can't ride it until he breaks it because of its stubbornness and rebellion, just like you and just like me, right? By nature, we are stubborn, we are rebellion, we are not broken, we are untamed. And listen, when an animal is untamed, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because it's unpredictable. It's dangerous because it's all about itself. It's dangerous because it can't be counted on. It has limited ways that you can use it. And church, before a person encounters Jesus Christ, they are untamed. Each and every one. And I don't mean this in a good way, right? I mean, I remember being in that place where I thought that I was free because I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. So you get in this place where you think I can live this wild life, but what we don't realize is that when you're in that state, when you're in that place, what you really are is you are tied up and you are untamed. And there's no way to be free except by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the only way. The other thing about this donkey is this donkey was outside. Right, and I know there's probably not a lot of inside donkeys at this time, but I'm talking about there was no lean-to, right? There was no little cave, no rock that was hewn out in the middle with some kind of shelter. This donkey was on the outside of the house, it said. And this donkey being outside made me think of our spiritual position, that when we're tied, we are outsiders, right? When we're untamed, we were outsiders. Ephesians 2:12 says, "At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." See, without Jesus, we're all tied, untamed donkeys with no hope. No hope. Like, there's no way we're getting free. There's nothing to look forward to. Church, a life without hope is a miserable life. It really is. It's a miserable life. A life without hope is lonely, right? A life without hope is really no life at all. But praise God that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And so with hope in him, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Church, listen, I am the donkey who has no hope and no life apart from Christ. Apart from him. If you take him out of the picture, I have no hope, I have no life but God. Right? But God. When we interject him into this equation, when we start to think about this donkey and we start to relate it to our own lives and we start to feel sorry for ourselves and we start to think about what is next for me and what could possibly be done, we need to think, but God. We need to think but God. Because Jesus saw this donkey, he had plans and he had a purpose. He chose him, listen, while he was tied, while he was untamed, while he was outside. Jesus saw that donkey and said, that's the one that I want. That's the one that I have a purpose for. That's the one that I have a plan for. And today is the day. Jesus saw him. And this is what Jesus does. He unties the donkey and sets the donkey free. Amen? He unties the donkey, sets the donkey free. See, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And I know this donkey wasn't physically lost, but he's not talking about being physically lost. He's talking about those who are spiritually lost. He said, I came to find them and to save them. Not those who don't know where they're at, but those that don't know where they should be going. The tied, the untamed, the outsiders. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? You shall know the truth. What's the truth? It's Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, when you know the truth shall make you free. If you know Jesus, Jesus will make you free. We cannot forget, church, that all authority, somebody say all authority. All authority has been given to Jesus. On earth, in heaven, it's all been given to him. And if he unties you, you are free. Amen? It's done. You're free. You're ready to go. But when Jesus shows up, listen, he tells the devil, he says, you are being loosed, right? Satan, as the owner of that donkey, here's the thing. He has to let you go. He has to let you go because Jesus has the authority to take back what he created. He has the authority to take back what he purposed. He has the authority to take back what he has chosen. He has the authority to free it from his from its captors, right? The devil has no choice but to let you go in the name of Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's done. It's guaranteed. Church, I'm the donkey that's been untied, right? I'm the donkey that's free. How about you? I mean, this is a good thing. This is a great thing as we remember this on Palm Sunday. We, if we are in Christ, are donkeys who have been untied. You have been freed. You have been tamed, right? You're no longer stubborn and rebellious, maybe a little bit. You're being tamed, right? It's a process that's probably sanctification. But what changes for this donkey? Because I think this is the place where a lot of us are at. Most people are like, yes, that's me. I am a donkey, but I am untied. I am free. But what about what happens next? What about the rest of the story for this donkey? See, this donkey, it says they brought it to Jesus. So this donkey comes, right? It's before the Lord, and it says they laid clothes on him, right? They clothed this donkey. It wasn't like how you people put your cats in like a sweater, right? But they clothed the donkey. They laid clothes over the donkey. And it brings, they bring this donkey to Jesus. He's clothed, but because here's the deal. It's an identity change. This donkey now belongs to someone else. This donkey now belongs to Jesus, and we're going to prepare it for him, for his service, for his purpose. And just like you and me, when we come to the Lord, we now have a change of identity that we belong to him. And they covered this donkey and marked him for Jesus. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You've put on Christ. Church, this is an identity change. We are to put on Christ. Other verses or translations say to clothe yourself with Christ. I mean, this is such an amazing picture because it shows Jesus covering us. It shows Jesus covering over our sin, but more importantly, it shows us being placed into Jesus, right? We put on Christ, that means he's on the outside, right? He's the one that covers us. We are in him. It's an image of position. It's an image of we are no longer those outsiders anymore, but we belong to him as citizens of heaven, that we belong. We're a part of the kingdom. And so this morning we need to be those that are willing to say that not just am I the donkey, but I'm the donkey that is clothed in Christ. I am the donkey who is covered by the Lord. It's who I am. It's who I belong to. I believe I have purpose. I believe I'm chosen. I believe that I'm no longer tied or untamed or an outsider. And here I am, ready to be used for his glory. Here I am, ready to be used for his purpose. We need to be in that place where we're ready to raise our hand and say, here I am, Lord, use me. Right? Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I surrender all. Listen, when we sing these songs about surrender, there's a reason why. And there's a reason why people lift their hands. It is a sign of surrender. Right? It is a sign of saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. I give up. Right? I'm not fighting you anymore. Why? Because you're not untamed anymore. I give up fighting. I give up my rebellion. I give up my opposition to you. Here I am. Use me for your glory. See, this donkey of Palm Sunday, there's a piece that you may have never seen before that it gets loosed, but it doesn't run off. See, a lot of people get loosed and then they run off and they go try to live their own life, but guess what? The old owner sees you walking around by yourself, doing your own thing, and it's like, that's my donkey, I'm taking you home. See, this donkey on Palm Sunday, when it was loose, it didn't run off. It went to its new owner. It went to its new master, and it didn't verbally say, but with its actions of being obedient, it said, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, I now belong to you, and I'm willing to be used. We know that it didn't resist because it says that they sat Jesus on it. It doesn't say that Jesus sat on it. It said they sat Jesus on it. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to get like, you know, me and Landon are going to pick up Todd and put him on the donkey, right? I mean, that donkey's staying there. We're not picking up Todd and chasing the donkey around, right? The donkey stayed there. It was willing to be used. It was in obedience, and they sat him upon it. See, this donkey was submitted to the will of the Savior, and then he rode him. How often do we people who are tied get set free only to run back to their rebellion, run back to that moment of being untamed? They resist God's plan for their life. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide them into this beautiful, perfect, amazing plan that he has for our lives. Listen, it may not look perfect on our side of it. I'm just saying it looks perfect on his side of it. Right? We don't see all the workings, but listen, this plan that God has for our lives begins with worship. It begins with walking in victory. It begins with celebration for what Christ has done for you and in you and what he's going to do through you. It's what we see in the people of Palm Sunday as they got their branches out, right? As they're waving their branches. Hosanna. Hosanna, these people, Hosanna in the highest, they're crying out Hosanna. It means God save us. It means God save us now, right? It's like they're saying the right words with their mouth, but they have no idea what they're actually asking for in their hearts. Save us now. Save us now. And they proclaim this as Jesus rides into town. Many recognized him as a savior, as a king, or they recognized him as a king, but not necessarily as a savior. They thought this is probably, possibly, according to the prophets, this may be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This may be the Almighty. He's come to finally rescue us from these terrible people that rule over us. Listen, church, if all your goal in life is for God to take over the White House just so you can live comfortably in the United States of America until you die, listen, that's very short-sighted. That's really not that great of a goal. I mean, it's an okay stepping stone. It's an okay piece of the puzzle along the way, but that's what these people were doing when Jesus came the first time. They just wanted to live comfortably, not under the control of dictatorship ruling that they did not like. All they wanted was to be free in that way. And a lot of people in our country are in that shape right now. They just want a person in the White House who will just fix all the problems and we can just live here peacefully for the rest of our lives. But listen, these people miss the fact that they all needed a savior. They needed a savior. And there's people outside of here, maybe in here today, that you're missing that fact that we need a savior. And there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus because there's no other name by which we can be saved. Right? There's no one that heals the way that he can heal. There's no one that delivers the way that he can deliver. There's no one who restores the way he restores or give hope the way that he gives hope or peace the way that he gives peace. There is no other. Every other alternative will fail. It is temporary. It looks good, but at its core, it is rotten. It's only Jesus. And listen, if you're the donkey, if you're the one who has been tied, but now you're untied, if you've been let go and set free by Jesus and you're clothed in his righteousness, I want to tell you something. Our work is not done. Our work is not done. That's not the entirety of the goal of being a Christian, is to just be saved. Right? It's a very important aspect of it, but it's not the end game. It's only the beginning. The last thing about this donkey that you need to know today is this donkey was used for God's glory. As the crowd cried, "Hosanna in the highest," this donkey lifted up Jesus. This donkey lifted up Jesus. This donkey made Jesus more recognizable. It made Jesus easier to be seen. It drew more attention to him and who he was. People weren't noticing the donkey. I mean, who's crying out in the crowd, "Hey, donkey"? Nobody's saying that. Everybody, whether they believe it or not, they're saying, "Hosanna, hallelujah," right? He's come. The Messiah is here. See, the donkey's job is to make Jesus more visible. And that's your job, is to make Jesus more visible. It's my job to make Jesus more visible this morning. See, the crowd in that day, they recognized the importance of the event. But what they missed was the purpose. They recognized the importance. This is great. This is amazing. Everybody's coming out of their houses. The streets are full of people, full of palm branches. They realize whatever's going on is important here, but so many of them missed the purpose. And sometimes the untied donkeys that are you and me miss the importance of being untied. Right? The importance of being untied is not, again, just to live a good, comfortable life. It's so that we can fulfill our purpose. It's so that we can do what Jesus has called us to do by lifting his name high, church, because it's him who is mighty to save. It's he and he alone who can do all things. Listen, church, I may be the donkey, but Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And he's Lord of all. Will you stand with me this morning? You know, as we wrap up and we go into an altar call this morning, there's one thing about Christianity that in many, many churches is heartbreaking. is that the whole goal, the whole purpose is to get somebody to repeat a prayer and get in the tank and then move on to the next person. Repeat the prayer and get in the tank and move on to the next person. Listen, church, we at Connection Church are about seeing the captive set free. Right? It's more than just salvation, because you can be saved. Right? This donkey could belong to Jesus, but because it's still stubborn, it runs away, gets recaptured by its previous owner and tied back up. Listen, does it still belong to Jesus? Yeah. It's just that this owner, this previous owner, is trying to steal it back, unrightfully take it back. And there's a lot of times where believers are saved and they know Jesus as Lord. But listen, I want to tell you today that there's a missing piece, and it's called freedom. That who the Son sets free is free indeed. It means that the other things that weigh us down, that plague us, that hold us back from fulfilling that purpose, from lifting Jesus high, the things that prevent us from saying, Lord, here I am, send me, that he is able and willing to free us from those things. Amen? There are times in our lives where we need deliverance. There are times in our lives where we need to let things go, where we need somebody to help pray things off of us. And church, we believe for that in this place. We believe that Jesus wants more for you than to just be saved and wait for heaven one day, but that he wants you to know him here and now, but also to be free here and now, to be used here and now, to serve him and his purpose for you. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this image of this donkey. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to look at this picture and to say, I am the donkey. Lord, that I am that donkey. And if we're ones who are saying that from the perspective this morning, that we're still tied, that we're still untamed, that we've yet to be found and yet to be loosed and yet to know our purpose. Lord, that we've yet to know you as our Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray that today would be that day of salvation for each and every person. Lord, that we would remember that as you created us, that you know us, you have that plan, you have that purpose, you have that calling for all of our lives. And so, Lord, we say to those who have yet to call you Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would come home. Holy Spirit, would you draw them to the feet of Jesus this morning? Lord, for those who have been loosed, they've been freed, they've had a taste of freedom, but maybe their stubbornness and rebellion has led them to slide back and be recaptured wrongfully, illegally by the enemy. Lord, would today be the day of freedom in their lives? Lord, that we can have freedom from sickness and disease that is ruling over our lives. That we can have freedom from broken relationships that have ruined who we are and made us a shell of ourselves. Can we have freedom from financial burden this morning? Lord God, would you work in mighty and powerful ways? Lord, that we wouldn't be held back from serving you with purpose. That we would be those donkeys who come to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Will you use me this morning? Here I am. I want all that you have for me this morning. Here I am. I just want to worship you. I thank you for freeing me. I belong to you, and I praise you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.